What if I told you that trying to get top dollar for your Sri Lankan villa is actually the exact reason you are losing money?
I mean, it sounds totally counterintuitive, but it's the absolute truth.
Seriously, like you own a house, an apartment, or maybe just a really nice annex in Sri Lanka, right?
Yeah.
It is a highly valuable, tangible asset. But right now, let's be brutally honest, it might be sitting completely
No,
empty.
it's just gathering dust.
Exactly. Or worse, it's currently rented out on the short-term market and it is causing you constant unending management
Oh,
headaches.
the headaches. It is the classic real estate paradox that we see across so many emerging markets. You have this incredible wealth on paper, right? This physical asset in a stunningly beautiful country. But extracting actual, reliable, stress-free value from it, it feels like you've basically taken on a second full-time job.
It really does, and that paradox is exactly what we are dismantling today. So for this deep dive, we are examining a really fascinating, highly strategic operational guide. Specifically, we're looking at the Ensilanka Property Partner Playbook.
Which is such a good read, honestly.
It is. And as analysts looking at real estate trends, our mission today is to completely shift how you, the property owner, view your real estate income.
We really need to fundamentally reevaluate the operational model here because the traditional approach that most property owners in Sri Lanka just default to, which is chasing that high-paying short-term tourist, is actually working against them, especially in the current global climate. The playbook makes a very compelling, data-driven argument that owners are, well, they're fighting the wrong battle entirely.
Okay, let's unpack this because
Right.
usually when someone has a beautiful, empty property in a prime location, say Galle or Colombo, the immediate reflex is, I'll throw some photos up on a short-term booking site.
Naturally, yeah.
You aim for the high season tourist market, you try to get a weekend here, a few nights there, but this Ensilanka playbook is arguing for a massive structural pivot.
A total 180, really.
Exactly. We are moving entirely away from that chaotic short-term tourism model to unlock the mechanics of securing reliable, high-quality international resident guests.
Resident guests. I mean, that is the pivotal concept here. Because if we zoom out and connect this to the macroeconomic picture, there's been a massive global paradigm shift in travel.
Oh, absolutely.
The demographic of who is traveling, and crucially, like how long they are staying,
Yeah.
has fundamentally transformed over the last 3 to 4 years.
We're talking about the explosion of the digital nomad economy, right? Like remote workers, tech freelancers, early retirees who are basically geo-arbitraging their lives.
That is exactly the demographic. We are looking at a highly mobile, financially stable population of hundreds of thousands of individuals. And here is the key psychological shift. They are no longer looking for a brief, 5-day hotel stay.
Right, they don't want the hotel buffet anymore.
No, they actively avoid the generic, walled-off resort experience. They're looking for what the playbook calls a trusted sanctuary, and they want it for anywhere from 3 to 12 months.
I really want to lean into that term, trusted sanctuary, because it completely changes the operational dynamic for the owner. I mean, think about the traditional short-term tourist market. From an operational standpoint, it is absolutely exhausting. It's the real estate equivalent of a one-night stand.
That is a very apt metaphor, actually. It's transactional, it's fleeting, and, well, it leaves you doing all the cleanup.
Right. The daily friction is just immense. You secure a guest for 2 nights. You have to coordinate a complicated key drop. You have to answer, I don't know, a dozen text messages at midnight about how to turn on the hot water heater or where the best local seafood restaurant
And
is.
then they leave 48 hours later.
Exactly. And then you're rushing to pay a cleaning crew, scrub the bathroom, and restock the coffee pods before the next person arrives at 3 p.m. It's unpredictable, high stress, and your income just evaporates the second the tourist high season ends.
Not to mention, you are perpetually held hostage by the algorithm.
Oh, the reviews.
Right. A single bad review from someone who only stayed 2 days, maybe just because it rained during their vacation, and that can completely tank your visibility. The one-night stand model requires the property owner to effectively become a full-time hotelier.
Which nobody wants.
Exactly. The playbook rightly points out that most property owners don't want to be in the hospitality business. They just want a steady yield on their physical asset.
So compare that frantic pace to the committed relationship of a resident guest model. Let's look at the mechanics of someone who moves in for 9 months. They aren't treating your house like a weekend bachelor party spot.
No, not at all.
They are treating it like their primary residence. They buy their own groceries. They figure out the local bus routes. They set up their own daily routines.
And what the market data shows is that this demographic specifically wants your property. They want to live in a genuine neighborhood. They want a real house, a functional kitchen, a local neighbor. Mm. They want to integrate into the rhythm of the city or town, which is exactly why this strategy is so vital for local Sri Lankan owners.
Huh.
Your standalone property or annex is precisely what this lucrative market is searching for.
And this is where we really have to have a serious reality check to capture this incredibly lucrative new market of 3 to 12 month renters. The property has to be positioned correctly.
It does.
And looking at the operational data in this playbook, the biggest hurdle owners face isn't actually the physical bricks and mortar of the property itself.
No, surprisingly, it's not the building. The primary bottleneck is the psychology of the owner. Specifically, the strategy they use to price the asset.
Oh, the pricing strategy. Here's where the financial analysis gets really interesting. Because there's a very specific trap that so many owners fall into, and the Sri Lanka playbook highlights it as the number one reason properties sit empty.
You know, we can call it the foreigner tax trap. It is a deeply ingrained yet entirely counterproductive instinct. A property owner knows they have international guests from Western economies looking at their listing, so they intentionally inflate the monthly rent by, you know, $300 or $400 simply because the guest carries a foreign passport.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second because as an analyst, I kind of have to push back.
Sure, go for it.
If I own a beautiful, newly renovated villa in Sri Lanka and my international guests are logging in from London, New York, or Berlin, they are earning in pounds, dollars, or euros. They have significantly stronger purchasing power.
They do, yes.
So from my pure capitalist perspective, why shouldn't I charge a premium? Why shouldn't I hold out for the tourist willing to pay $100 a night? I mean, I want to maximize my return.
I get it. The instinct to maximize return is completely logical. But it fundamentally misunderstands the mechanism of how this specific demographic operates. It ignores the reality check section of the playbook entirely.
Okay, break that down for me.
Yes. International remote workers come to Sri Lanka for the incredible climate, the surf, the culture. But they stay for the affordability.
Because they aren't constrained by a 2-week vacation window.
Precisely. They are highly mobile. They carry their laptops and their income moves with them. They are not tied to any one location out of necessity. If they feel a property is overpriced or, you know, they sense they are being hit with a foreigner tax, they do not sit down and negotiate with you.
Right. They just leave.
Exactly. They simply close the tab and seamlessly move their search to an entirely different country. They are shopping on a global market, not a local one.
So who am I actually competing against? Because if I own an apartment in Colombo, my instinct is to look at the apartment building across the street to set my price.
And that hyperlocal view is the fatal flaw in the strategy. Your competition is global infrastructure. The playbook lays out the hard comparative data on what these long-term resident guests are paying elsewhere for fully functional villas and apartments. Let's examine the global benchmarks here.
Lay the numbers on me.
In India, specifically in massive digital nomad hubs like Goa, they are securing properties for about $150 a month.
Wow. Wait, just $150 a month for a house?
Yes. If we move to Cambodia, the standard benchmark is $180. If they look toward Central America, you know, places like Guatemala or Nicaragua, the market rate is $200.
Okay.
The Philippines sits around $225. And then you have the heavyweights. Incredibly popular remote work hubs with massive infrastructure, like Vietnam, Bulgaria, or Georgia, where the going rate for a great place is roughly $250 a month.
Okay. I mean, hearing those numbers strung together is a massive wake-up call. Vietnam, Bulgaria, Georgia, the Philippines, these are stunning, culturally rich, highly developed places with great internet.
Yep.
So if I'm a remote software engineer and I see a Sri Lankan property listed for $800 a month just because the owner wants to milk my foreign salary, and then right next to it, I see a beautiful turnkey villa in Vietnam for $250. The choice is absolute zero friction. I'm going to Vietnam.
The market dynamics dictate exactly that. And that is the danger of the four under tax mentality.
Yeah.
By intentionally setting high, uncompetitive prices, you aren't maximizing your yield.
Mm.
You are actively driving your target demographic right to Vietnam or India.
That's wild.
The clear empirical takeaway from the global data is that $250 is a highly competitive global sweet spot.
But dropping a monthly rent to $250 or $170, I mean, as a local property owner, that stings. Does the math actually support taking that much lower of a monthly rate?
It absolutely does when you calculate annualized yield versus hypothetical monthly peaks.
Right, the long game.
Exactly. The playbook argues that overpricing leaves properties vacant for 8 or 9 months of the year. You might feel a tremendous sense of pride listing your house for $600 a month, but if it sits empty from May to November, your actual annualized yield is abysmal.
Makes total sense.
Reasonable pricing equals uninterrupted compounded income. A resident guest paying a globally competitive rate for 8 months straight is infinitely more valuable and far less costly to manage than a high-paying tourist who stays for 2 weeks and leaves the house empty the rest of the quarter.
To put it bluntly, 100% of something is mathematically superior to 100% of nothing.
It is about securing a stable, low-friction, long-term income stream rather than gambling on the seasonal, high-stress windfalls of tourism.
All right, let's look at the next massive operational hurdle. Let's say you're listening to this analysis and you've had that reality check. You agree with the data. You are ready to drop your price, beat Vietnam and India, and welcome a resident guest for an 8-month stay.
Good choice.
But what if your property is completely empty? Say you just finished construction or your last long-term local tenant moved out and took the fridge, the bed, the couch,
right.
Everything.
Yeah. Their walls.
You do not have the liquid capital on hand to furnish this place to meet the rigorous international standards of a European remote worker.
This is perhaps the most significant barrier to entry in the entire market. Many owners possess fantastic physical assets, you know, great natural light, secure location, solid construction, but zero furnishings.
Yeah.
And the thought of buying a whole house worth of international standard furniture, modern appliances and high-speed routers, it just feels like an impossible, high-risk, upfront financial burden.
It's terrifying. You're talking about sinking thousands of dollars into couches and beds before you've seen a single cent of rental income.
Which is exactly why the Insilanka playbook introduces a mechanism that fundamentally changes the risk profile for the owner. We can analyze it as the furniture math.
Okay, this is where the financial engineering gets really clever. It completely solves the upfront capital problem. Let's break down exactly how this mechanism works.
The architecture of the model is based on unbundling. Insilanka identifies four distinct, standardized lifestyle packages that the international guests can select.
Right.
And these packages represent the total estimated monthly cost for a guest to stay in a fully furnished turnkey property. So there's startup for $170, comfort for $250, premium for $500, and luxury for $900.
Okay, let's not run through all the tiers. Let's really drill down into one to see how the mechanics operate. Let's take the comfort tier.
Excellent. So in the comfort tier, the total estimate that the international guest pays is $250 a month. Within that $250, the playbook calculates the value of the furniture and lifestyle setup at $80.
Okay, so let's walk through a specific real-world scenario so we can see the aha moment of this math. Let's say I have an unfurnished house. It is a bare concrete shell, empty rooms, no appliances.
Yep, completely bare.
But structurally, it's great, and I decide it fits perfectly into that global sweet spot. I want to market it as a comfort tier home.
Right, so looking at the comfort tier, the international guest is paying a total of $250. But your physical house has no furniture. Here's how the calculus works for your income.
Okay, tracking.
You take that $250 total, and Insilanka deducts the $80 furniture package value to cover the furnishings, and your base rent the secure money that goes directly into your pocket simply for providing the physical space is $170 a month.
And here is the absolute genius of the unbundling. As the property owner, I do not have to go out and buy that furniture.
Not a single piece.
I don't sink capital into outfitting the house. And Insilanka actually provides the furniture to the guest to complete the setup. It's essentially a BYOD, bring your own device model, but applied to real estate.
That's a great way to put it.
I provide the hardware, which are the walls and the roof. And Insilanka installs the software, which is the furniture and the lifestyle experience.
It is a remarkable separation of the physical asset from the experiential layer. You are monetizing an empty shell without bearing the capital risk of furnishing it.
But wait, let me ask a mechanical question here. If Insilanka is providing an $80 a month furniture package to my empty concrete shell.
Huh.
Who is on the hook if the guest ruins the couch?
Liability?
Right. What if the remote worker spills red wine on the provided rug? How does that liability work?
That is exactly why the experiential layer is entirely separated from the owner. Because Ensilanca is supplying that lifestyle package to the guest, the liability and the maintenance of that furniture rest within their operational ecosystem, not on your shoulders.
Oh, wow.
You are totally insulated. Ensilanca handles the alignment, the wear and tear, and ensures the property continuously meets the exact standards the international market demands.
It completely democratizes property investment. You no longer need to be a wealthy developer with deep pockets to have a fully furnished international standard rental property. You just need the physical space. Okay, so now your property is perfectly priced for the global market and is beautifully furnished without you spending a dime up front. The next logical bottleneck is management. Who actually deals with the guest?
Because as we established earlier, even with a stable, long-term resident guest, the day-to-day management of a property can still generate massive friction.
Exactly. Who is answering the text message when the Wi-Fi router needs a hard reset? Who is chasing down the rent if the international bank transfer is delayed? And honestly, who is marketing the property to these remote workers in Berlin or Tokyo in the first place?
This is where we examine the mechanics of Ensilanca's 10% solution. For a 10% monthly service fee, they step in and act as what the playbook terms a professional shield.
A professional shield. I love that phrasing. Because anyone who has ever been a landlord knows you desperately need a buffer between your personal life and your rental property. But let's look at the math. Is 10% actually a good deal?
But when you analyze traditional property management firms, they often charge anywhere from 15 to 20%. And that usually doesn't include the sophisticated international marketing or the furniture logistics we just discussed. The 10% fee in this playbook is not just a listing tax. It is comprehensive end-to-end operational coverage.
So they're doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly. They take full responsibility for the global marketing. They handle 100% of the guest communication. They provide professional mediation if any operational issues arise at the property. And crucially, before a guest ever arrives, they conduct a physical team visit to your property.
Let's pause and talk about that physical verification visit, because from the international guest perspective, that is the linchpin of the whole deal.
It is the absolute foundation of the transaction. Think about the psychology of the buyer here. If a remote worker in London is going to commit to signing a lease and flying to live in your house in Sri Lanka for 6 months, they need absolute ironclad trust that the property actually exists.
Right, that it's not a stock photo.
Yes, that the roof doesn't leak and that it actually looks like the photos online. By sending an Ensilanca representative to physically verify the standards and provide an expert estimate, that trust barrier is instantly removed.
It eliminates the scam fear that keeps so many international renters away from independent, unverified listings on local websites. And as the owner, you get the ultimate counterbalance to that trust, which is guarantee income.
This is perhaps the most critical operational mechanism for the owner's financial stability.
Yeah.
You are not chasing a foreign guest, trying to figure out how to process an international wire transfer every month. Ensilanca collects the funds. They pay you, the owner, directly.
Like clockwork.
On time. Every time. The rent flow is secure and systemized.
So the mechanics are the guest pays Ensilanca. Ensilanca takes their 10% for acting as the shield and handling all the headaches. They manage the furniture layer, and you get your guaranteed base rent directly deposited without ever having to send an awkward, hey, rent is late text message.
It effectively transforms property ownership from an active, highly stressful secondary job into a genuinely passive income stream.
Okay, so Ensilanca takes the 10% and acts as a shield. But as an owner, I mean, I still want to know what's happening with my asset. Am I just flying completely blind once I hand over the keys? Because that creates its own kind of anxiety.
Oh, that is a very valid concern for property investors. You want passive income, but you don't want to lose visibility. This is where the playbook details the integration of the partner dashboard.
The tech advantage here is really slick, because it isn't just a static web page where you upload some photos and hope for the best. It's a complete operational portal. It solves the psychological anxiety of the owner.
It provides radical transparency and control without reintroducing the operational burden we just got rid of.
You can log in, drink your morning tea, and instantly update your facilities or adjust your pricing strategy. But the most powerful tool is the interest tracking.
That feature is brilliant.
You aren't guessing if your marketing is working. You can actually see exactly which international guests have shortlisted your property. You get real-time data analytics on who is looking at your house. And of course, you receive instant system notifications of your selection status when a guest officially chooses your home.
It keeps the owner deeply engaged with the data and the success of their property without requiring them to manage the exhausting day-to-day human interactions. And there is one highly strategic, low-cost feature within that dashboard ecosystem that the playbook highlights.
Yes, the $5 secret weapon.
Exactly. For a nominal one-time fee of just $5, an owner can activate the featured listing protocol.
Only $5?
Yeah, just $5. Yeah. And it algorithmically prioritizes your property, pushing it to the very top of guest searches. In a highly competitive global market where visibility is absolutely everything, ensuring your property is the absolute first thing a resident guest sees is easily worth a $5 micro-investment.
It's an absolute no-brainer. So if we pull all of these complex operational threads together, you know, what is the big picture here? What is the macro impact of a Sri Lankan property owner actually adopting the strategies in this playbook?
Well, the macro impact is really dual-layered. It's about stabilization and elevation. By utilizing this guided system, by accepting the reality of global pricing mechanics, leveraging the furniture math to remove capital risk, and utilizing the 10% professional shield, you are achieving two things.
Okay.
First, you are securing your own individual financial future with reliable, long-term guaranteed yield. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly on a national scale, you're actively contributing to a more professional, trustworthy global image for Sri Lanka's real estate market.
That is a profoundly important point. You aren't just a landlord collecting rent. You are an infrastructure partner for the country's economic image. When a digital nomad has a seamless, highly professional, and affordable experience living in your property, they don't just keep it a secret.
No, they broadcast it.
They tell 10 other remote workers in their network. You elevate the reputation of the entire market.
You help replace the chaotic, sometimes predatory reputation of short-term tourist traps with a highly professionalized, globally competitive resident infrastructure.
So the core takeaway from this playbook is incredibly clear. To survive and thrive in this new global remote work economy, owners have to stop thinking like panicked hoteliers and start thinking like strategic infrastructure partners.
Really?
The math makes sense, the global data is undeniable, and the operational safety net is fully documented. The Sri Lanka portal offers a highly streamlined architecture to execute exactly that. Registering your property, uploading the data, and setting a globally competitive price is the blueprint for turning an empty concrete liability into a stable long-term asset.
It is the absolute optimal strategy for maximizing the yield of your asset while completely minimizing your personal operational friction.
Absolutely. And I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to really mull over. Think back to the beginning of this deep dive where we talked about the midnight plumbing calls, the stress of empty rooms, and the sheer exhaustion of the tourist hustle. Now, reimagine that scenario. Think about the pure, uninterrupted peace of mind knowing your property is not just generating guaranteed monthly yield, but is actually being lived in and maintained by a professional who considers it their home rather than a transient tourist who treats it like a disposable weekend party spot. What could you accomplish in your own life with your own reclaimed time, with that kind of automated, worry-free sanctuary working for you silently in the background?
It fundamentally redefines the value of time for the property owner. A really vital question to consider.
We'll let you think on that. Until next time.